Good evening. Welcome to worship this evening. As we continue our Lenten series, The Ironies of the Passion, this evening we get to see that King Herod got exactly what he was hoping for, and it dramatically disappointed him. It becomes interesting when we begin to see ourselves in Herod, when we go calling out to Jesus, and Jesus gives us exactly what we need, and we're not exactly thrilled with what he gives us. And then we'll see why it's a good thing that Jesus doesn't change to suit us, but that he changes our hearts so that we see him for who he is, our Savior God who went to the cross for us. I look forward to sharing that message and comfort with you today. We'll worship with the service as it's printed in the worship booklet. And our opening hymn for this evening is on page 2 in the worship booklet for this evening. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. Amen.
Stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the do the nations conspire, and the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed
Lord God, you anointed your Son to be King for the sake of your church. Help us, as members of his kingdom, to serve him faithfully and to come to the full knowledge of the grace and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
This is the Passion History of our Savior according to Luke chapter 22. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Into your hands I commend my spirit. Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
In the name of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, in the name of Jesus. My devotion for you this evening is based on Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Pilate and Herod became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Don't you think Herod should have done his homework first? Or maybe he did do his homework. Maybe he did know about Jesus, but he only saw and heard what he wanted to see and hear about Jesus. And when he had the chance to see him, he was so excited because he was pretty sure he was going to see an entertainer. He thought he was going to see some sort of political strategist. He thought he was going to see a fighter. But apparently he forgot what his daddy went through. When his daddy had all the little boys killed hoping to get rid of Jesus. Or maybe he just didn't put two and two together when Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, called Herod on his sin of hooking up with his brother's wife. Or maybe King Herod never heard the Beatitudes, where this was not a fighter, this was not an aggressive man. This was a man who was all about peace and about mercy and about being meek. Apparently he never heard Jesus called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The man who was going to give up his life, he was no fighter. He was not very PC either, as the very guys who brought him before Pilate, who brought him before Herod, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, Jesus laid into them. He said, "Woe to you, you blind liars! Woe to you, you hypocrites!" He wasn't a very good politician, as he offended the leaders, and he didn't gain the kind of following a lot of other people could have. But can't you just see this guy getting all ready for Jesus to show up? You know, maybe, oh, Jesus is coming, and he sent some servants out. Go get some big jugs of water, and let's see if he'll turn them into wine for us, because Herod probably heard about that one. Or maybe it was, let's go get some people who can't see. Let's go get some people who can't walk or who can't hear. And we'll put them all in front of Jesus and we'll see what he does. Or maybe he tells the baker, hey, go get some bread. Go get some fish. And we'll see how many people Jesus can feed with this little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. Jesus wasn't an entertainer. And Herod was very disappointed when he found out Jesus wasn't going to do any miracles for him. Or maybe Herod was very excited and he got all of his strategy workers together with him, all of his politicians, and he was ready to pick Jesus' mind. You know, Jesus, how are you doing it? How are you getting so many people to follow you? Is Pilate upset with you? Are you upset with me? Am I okay? You know, how can you help me against Pilate? What are you going to do for me? And Jesus just sat there. And he didn't say anything. And then the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they start ramping it up too. They start questioning him and accusing him. They start making fun of him. They start ridiculing him. And Jesus doesn't fight back. He sits there and he takes it. It's kind of ironic that Herod wanted to see Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he was thoroughly disappointed in what he saw. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save what was lost." And isn't that exactly what King Herod saw? King Herod got to see Jesus in all his glory. wasn't the kind of glory he was looking for or hoping for, but he saw something bigger, something better. The Son of Man going to the cross for sinners. God Almighty giving up his life, God Almighty putting up with this, God Almighty taking this, God Almighty letting people make fun of him and ridicule him. This was Jesus winning salvation for the world, and Herod got to see it firsthand. And he was thoroughly disappointed. Have you ever had that kind of a King Herod sort of moment? When you are just convinced that you just need Jesus, and you need him right here, and you need him right now, and you're calling out to God, and you're praying to Jesus, and you want him to help you. And then Jesus comes to you, and he helps you. And you're thoroughly disappointed because you were hoping for a miracle. Maybe it was a miracle that you were hoping a doctor was going to work for somebody that you care about. Maybe it was a miracle you just wanted Jesus to help this person, to make this person better. But God did something better. God skipped all of that and took this person right home to heaven in response to your pleas, your prayers. And you're mad at him because your loved one isn't here anymore. Did you ever have a King Herod moment where God gave you exactly what you wanted and you didn't like it? Or maybe you cried out to Jesus because you want some answers. You just want to know. And instead of giving you those answers straightforward, God directs you back to Scriptures and he makes you go dig through Scriptures and he makes you go find the answers. God gives you exactly what you need and you get mad at him. Because it's not what you think Jesus should do for you and how he should be doing it for you. Or maybe you're wanting somebody close to you to really listen this time and to stop fighting you and to stop opposing you. Or maybe you've just had it with the whole lot of them and you ask Jesus to come down and just destroy them, just get rid of them, just be done with them once and for all. And instead of getting rid of them, Jesus ramps them up. He fires them up a little bit. And so they make life even worse for you. Or maybe they get a little bit louder in opposing Jesus and mocking God and making fun of you. You asked Jesus to fight for you, to do something for you, and he did just the opposite. Do you ever have your King Herod moment when you ask for Jesus and God gives you Jesus and you don't like it? Or maybe you wanted a closer relationship with Jesus. I don't feel close to you, God. And God gives you Jesus in his word, and Jesus convicts you of the sin. Or maybe in response to your prayer, God sends you a Christian brother or sister who says, you need to work on this because this isn't okay. And then your conscience kicks in, and you feel guilty, and you feel ashamed, and you don't like it. And so now you're mad at God for answering your prayer by calling you to repentance. And sending somebody into your life who cares about you enough to call you on your sin and to call you to repentance. God's going to bring you closer to him exactly what you wanted, but you don't like it. Do you ever demand of God? Get exactly what you demand from him, but don't like it, and so then you go on to ridicule God? Probably not by standing up in front of a lot of people and saying how much you hate God and how much you hate Jesus. But do you ever ridicule God by going to someplace else to find some satisfaction, some gratification, some purpose, some enjoyment? And God calls it sin, but God wasn't there for you before, so you go get it for yourself. Do you ever have your King Herod moment when God gives you exactly what you need and you don't like it? You know, I find it ironic that Jesus would even go to Herod's place in the first place. And I know you could probably argue, well, he didn't want to go there. You know, Pilate sent him there and the soldiers made him go. That's not how it went. If Jesus didn't want to go there, Jesus wouldn't have gone there. Jesus was on his way to the cross for you and for me, for the sins of the world, and he made a stop at Herod's place. You would think that God Almighty, when he came down to this world, he would have done something a little different. Maybe it should have been 24/7 miracles, right? Just make everybody happy. Give everybody what they need. Solve the world's problems. Solve everybody's problems. Make life good for everyone. That's what I think God Almighty should have done.
when he sent his son. Or maybe he should have been more of a politician, more of a kingdom builder. And he should have hooked up with Herod, and he should have hooked up with Pilate, and he could have built these massive walls around Jerusalem, and he could have got everybody together, and they could have done their thing, and he could have had this huge kingdom of people all on their way to hell because there would be no Savior. Or maybe God Almighty could have sent his son down here with the big sword, and he could have been a fighter. And he could have gone around killing everybody who opposes him, killing everybody who sins, killing everybody who makes a mockery of him, ridiculing him. And he would have done that, and then, oops, no more people. No more people for the kingdom, because God tells us very clearly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if Jesus is a fighter, if God Almighty gets rid of everybody who's ever sinned and opposed him, he's not going to have much of a kingdom left. Maybe it's ironic. Maybe it's not what you expected. Maybe it's not what I saw coming, but it's exactly what the world needed. God sent his son to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus did everything he had to do to be our Savior God, including spending a little bit of time with King Herod, letting him make fun of him, letting the chief priests and the teachers of the law ridicule him. And by doing so, he was being our Savior, perfectly trusting in God's plan of salvation. Jesus didn't run off and find some sin to enjoy himself, because it was hard in King Herod's palace. It was not a good time. But he did God's will perfectly, flawlessly for you and for me. And then he went to the cross, where he died for us. Not so that he could be our entertainer, not so that he could be our kingdom builder, not so that he could be our fighter, but so that he could be our Savior. I mean, how ironic is this? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. For every time we've called out to God and God answers us perfectly, and we get upset with that, Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. He takes it away and heals our relationship with God. For every time we ran away from God, just like King Herod sent Jesus away, I'm done with you. For every time we did that too, you know, I'm done with you, I'm going to go sin for a little bit. Jesus died for those sins. And he lived perfectly in your place and perfectly in my place. How ironic is this? Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, maybe it is ironic that God Almighty would do something like that for you and for me, for King Herod and for Pilate, for the sins of the world. And maybe it does floor us. Maybe it is hard to believe. Maybe it is hard to understand. But it is absolutely true. Your Jesus loves you. And your Jesus died for you. And your Jesus is only going to give you what's good for you. He's only going to answer your prayers and do miracles in your lives in ways that are going to eternally bless you and benefit you. And you know that's true because he went to the cross for you. God doesn't always give us the kind of Savior that we think we need or give us the answers that maybe we want. He gives us the perfect Savior that we really need. And he gives us the answers that are only going to bless us. And because he gave us the perfect sinless Savior God, you and I are going to go to heaven someday. May God bless you and draw you closer to your Savior. May the Holy Spirit go to work on your heart so you see him for who he is. As hard as it might be to believe or to understand why, he's your Savior God who loves you. Amen. May the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding be in our heads and treasured in our hearts and lived in our lives to God's glory. Amen.
We join together in our next hymn, hymn 715.
Thank you.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Keep me as the apple of your eye. In righteousness I shall see you.
Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who watch or work or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, give rest to the weary, pity the afflicted, soothe the suffering, bless the dying, and all for your love's sake, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Waking, O Lord, that awake we may watch with Christ.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoyed being in God's house with you this evening. I enjoyed finding peace and comfort in His Word with you. May He send you home quiet this evening, let you rest up, wake you up, ready to live for Him, confident as you are His people. Please feel free to visit with one another before you leave, and I will say goodnight to you one more time on the way out.